You know, rewards are a very important part of our life. We do very few things that we don't get rewarded for in some way. You go to work, you get rewarded with a salary. You hope, anyway. You do certain things, and you receive an honor. That's a reward. An athlete works hard, gets himself into shape, and he gets a reward. Sometimes it's a medal, sometimes it's a few million dollars. But that's quite a reward. Sometimes our rewards are just appreciation. Sometimes the satisfaction we get from doing it. Rewards are very important to life, as well as just being rewarded for the things we do. Rewards are very important to the Christian life, too. I have here a little book by Randy Alcorn. It's called The Law of Rewards. After I read this book, I was much enthused about giving. Because there are rewards for giving.
Yes, there is.
We'll talk about that more in just a minute. First thing we have to do is establish the fact that there is a heaven and there is a hell. These things are very closely spelled out in the scriptures. Heaven and hell are not figurative terms. They're real. They're literal. They're physical. Now, this author also has a book simply called Heaven. If you want to know more about heaven, that's a really good book to study. It shows us certain things about heaven. For example, because heaven will be a physical place, it talks about the new heaven, the new earth. This old earth is going to pass away someday, and God is going to provide a new heaven and a new earth. Now, if it's on earth, it must be a physical place. It talks about the city, the New Jerusalem that comes down. And somebody says, how can there be another earth somewhere? We don't see it anywhere. Our astronomers don't find anything like that. Well, you know, God created this earth the first time. He can get rid of it and create another one.
Amen.
He created this one out of nothing. He can create a new earth out of nothing. The city, the New Jerusalem, is described as having certain dimensions. 1,400 miles each way, 1,400 miles tall. I can understand the two dimensions on the flat, but 1,400 miles tall, I don't quite understand. It talks about the streets. It talks about a river. It talks about fruit trees growing. It talks about the different nations. And the kings and all their splendor will come to the city. Talks about the foundation of the city and describes some of the materials that are used for that. It mentions thrones, people. So, in my opinion, heaven is going to be a very physical place. It won't be like we're sitting on a cloud strumming a harp, you know, floating around like a ghost or something. We're going to be real people. We're going to be in a real place. We're going to have real homes. And we're also going to have real rewards. Now, hell is also a real place. God talks about the torment, the pain, the fire. Said there'll be an endlessly burning fire of sulfur. Have you ever smelled sulfur burning? Oh, that'll just about knock you out. You can't get away quick enough. It's terrible. To think about doing that for eternity because of your misdeeds. Okay, now, I think it's important to understand this, that heaven and hell are real places in order to understand why rewards are important. Rewards have to be something that you can have, something you hold on to, something that you possess. Now, Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19, has some things to say about this. Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. You know, this kind of sounds to me like that phrase I've heard, you can't take it with you. Yeah. Everything we have is going to be destroyed. Sometime you're going to lose it. Now the things we have here, you know, our bank accounts, our possessions, our homes, all of these things can be taken away from us. We've seen here recently the hurricane that came through. Took away lots of people's homes, everything they owned. You can put your money in the stock market. 1929 proved that that's not safe either. It's going to be taken from us. If not during our lifetime, it's going to be taken from us when we die. Somebody said, where there are no U-Haul trailers behind a hearse, you're not going to take it with you. In the Bible, in Luke chapter 12, there's a story about the rich farmer. Remember, the rich farmer had a great crop one year. He said, oh, what am I going to do? I know, I'll store it all up. And then I can just sit back and take it easy and live off of what I've had, what I got. Jesus said, you fool. Tonight you're going to die, and then what good are these things going to do for you? Now, he doesn't say we can't lay up treasures, but he said, don't make them the purpose of your life. He said, if you store up treasures only for yourself, you will not end up very well if you do that and are not rich toward God. That's the thing. We have to be rich toward God. Now, we can think of these things as an investment. All the good things we do for the Lord are an investment. We ordinarily think, well, you know, if I put money in the offering in church, it's gone. I don't have any more control over it. I can't use it again. Or if we spend an hour of our life helping someone do something, that's an hour that's gone. We'll never recover again. That's the way with earthly investments. But with our heavenly investment, that's not true. When we put that money in the offering plate, guess where it goes? To our account in heaven. Lay up treasures in heaven. When we do something good for somebody, it goes into our account in heaven. In Matthew 16, it says, what good does it do a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul? Then he goes on and says, the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory. And then he will reward each person according to what he has done. God promises us that he will reward us for the good things we've done. He even says, if you just give a cup of cold water, I'll reward you for that. You will not lose your reward. So even the little things we do count with God. Now, we want to be sure of one thing that we understand. Our work does not get us into heaven. There is no way. We can't work hard enough to get to heaven. Faith alone gets us to heaven. So we can understand that faith determines our destination. But our works determine our reward. And not everyone in heaven is going to have the same reward because they haven't put them there. Haven't invested them. I read one thing in this book, kind of humorous. It said, now when you get to heaven and you see the home you're going to have, you look at it and you say, wow, that's not very much. Why didn't I have a better home? And the builders in heaven say, we did the best we could with what you sent us. So what we send ahead is going to be our reward. Now, Jim Elliot, who was one of the missionaries who was martyred down in Ecuador back in 1956, he made a statement which a lot of people use. He said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You're smart if you give up some things here in order to gain them in a place where you can never lose them. Now, what are characteristics of these rewards? Well, for one thing, they're eternal. They go on forever and ever. Now, we invest something here, and we don't know if it's going on forever or if we'll have it when we want to get it back. They're never lost or stolen. Jesus said, you lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't get to them. Thieves can't steal them. They're there. They're guaranteed by God. You know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good he does. That's a guarantee of God. And there's one other thing about them that's completely different from investments we make here on earth. In Luke chapter 12, verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. Think of that. A treasure that will never be exhausted. You know, if I put $100 in the bank, a little later I go and I get that $100 out, I can't go back another time and say, give me that $100. Anyway, you already got it. This says our treasure in heaven will never be exhausted. No matter how many times we draw it out, it's still there. To me, that's a pretty smart investment. Okay, now how do we get these rewards? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, that they may take hold of life that is truly life. So be rich in good deeds, be generous, be willing to share. Those are some of the things that are getting us those treasures in heaven. Isaiah chapter 58. Is not this kind of fasting that I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free, to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe him? Those are the kinds of things that God takes and puts in your account in heaven. In James chapter 1, religion that our God accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So again, it's not the great, wonderful things we do. It's not particularly that we come to church every Sunday, that we sing in the choir, that we give our offerings. Those are not the great things that gain us our rewards in heaven. It's the little things we do God wants us to do for our neighbor. In Matthew 25, there's a story about the sheep and the shepherd. You remember that one? When Christ comes back, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Now, what happens to them? The sheep, he says, I'll put on my right hand, and they can come into my presence forever. Because you fed me when I was hungry, you shared your food with me, you visited me when I was in prison. You helped me when I needed a handout. You visited me when I was sick. These kinds of things are the things we can do every day. And those are the things that will be laid up as treasures in heaven. Revelation says the dead were judged according to what they had done. Psalm 62, surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, each will be rewarded according to his own labor. And then Luke 16, there's a verse that says, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. I think that means we're going to have a dwelling in heaven. And we're going to have friends that, because we befriended them here, they're going to welcome us there when we get there. It's going to be a great place. But it'll be even greater if we have our accounts all set up and paid in full. So I wanted to share this with you this morning, hopefully as motivation not to be afraid to give. Don't be afraid to put things for other people, to put stuff in the offering, to support missionaries, to do all these things. God says, that's my kind of work. That's what I want you to do. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey me. And to obey means to work for the good of the people around us. Well, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. That's what we should be concerned about. I think this is the best investment we can ever find. Amen. Giving and doing for the Lord. So don't be afraid of doing it.
Someone had told me that there's only about 14 inches between our head and our heart. And when we do things for the Lord, we do it with our heart. Hopefully we do it knowing what we do. But it's from our heart that what really counts. That's where our reward is.